Equity Podcast, number one comedy business podcast in the world.
Give me money.
We got the king on, Chris M. King.
Thank you for saying his name. I was afraid you were going to forget.
Oh, I looked it up. I looked it up. What up, girl? Look, we've won two more awards, but I'm not going to list them off because they're too long and it makes the intro way long. But if you want to go to statusflow.net/sweatequitypodcast, that's the landing page for this episode. Really interesting dude.
Blew my mind.
Eric was catatonic.
I'm broken.
Yeah,
he got. I'm gonna have him break me right on down.
He got mind fucked by the king. And if you're listening to this podcast and want to listen to his mind fuck podcast, that seems interesting. Check it out. Sure. For you guys, you listeners, listen to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Go on YouTube, subscribe. Hit that little bell, ding, once you subscribe. Get the notifications, the new episodes come out. This episode, sponsored by Zupyak, Z-U-P-Y-A-K, the first search-optimized AI writer. Look, we've been talking about this company for months, and they are fantastic. Not only do we promote them, but I'm a user myself. Zupyak.com, all the other AI writers, they can tell their AI writers. Did you know that?
Yeah. They're all talking to each
Google's
other.
Google's SEO kind of bots, they don't like the other AI writers. It just came out the other day. But you can use Zupyak to write some content.
Cyber wars already.
You want blog
and
posts? You want a blog
bitter.
Post? You throw some keywords at that shit. Bada bing. The robot makes it for you. And it doesn't sound corny. Go to Zupyak.com. Promo code SWEAT, like key sweat. Let's get this party started. Howdy, daddy!
It's called Sweat Equity.
Listening to the Sweat Equity Podcast.
You good to go? You good to rock?
I believe I am.
Alrighty. You want to do this or no?
What?
Lightning?
Oh, you're going to... I mean, give it a little lube first, a little explanation maybe.
Well, we're trying a new way to intro our guests. Just a little lightning round questions at the top.
All right. Yeah, what time do you wake up?
4 a.m.
Me too.
Jesus.
I knew you were going to say that for some reason. Weird.
Does God exist?
The God of my understanding, yes. Sky Daddy, no.
Okay.
Like that too. What else did I write there? You read them for me. I can't roll my glasses. Geez, I do. They're right there, but I'm not going to put them on.
You're an old man. What's the first time you ever French kissed someone?
We're repeating questions already?
Oh, yeah. It's a fun one.
No, I had a better one.
Her name was Kim. I was 13, maybe.
Okay,
we got a name. Have you ever cheated on a test?
Oh, yeah.
You're off to a great start in my book. I'm going to tell you right now.
What is your...
Well, how do we define cheating? I mean, there might be some wiggle room here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explain.
We can unpack that.
Get right into it.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Baby Got Back.
All these questions matter. You'll find out soon.
Oh, we're gonna bring it all together at the end.
This is like a mentalist thing.
You know, that's not really true. If I'm really doing go-to, it's Gloria by Them.
Okay. See? Okay. What about that one? You got that one?
Oh, have you ever done any psychedelics?
Yes.
Okay. And then the last two, did you listen to the show before coming on?
Of course not. That would prepare me. I don't work that way.
Okay. This is giving us a good kind of Rorschach.
So far, you have scored a 100% on my book.
This is the real question, which we can kind of stretch out a bit, or give you some time to think. But what advice would you give a 15-year-old self?
All right, I'll get real for this one. Ignore girls until you're at least 28. You've got shit to do.
So you were chasing since you were French kissed at 13. You were on it like Pepe Le Pew.
I've been pretty girl crazy most of my life. Yeah, and it wasn't until I finally grew myself up that I was like, you know, maybe my priorities are not quite screwed together.
Mm. I mean, I've got a lot.
That might be mine at this point.
I got a lot of childhood questions about this. Well, I'm always...
Well, you know my background.
I know, but the pussy hound guys, you know, like, I'm always interested in the background because sometimes it's nothing just other than they really like to chase women. Sometimes it's a void of they're trying to fill from something that traumatic that happened. I feel like it's one or the other a lot of the time.
Right into the trauma.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe it's just egoic kind of, you know, desire or something like that, or more it's a deep-seated bid for connection or, yep. you know, to get a need met, some unconscious psychodynamic that is completely driving a dysfunctional behavior.
Wow, that you just reeled that off like the top answer on Quora.
Yeah. I know me really well.
Well, you've earned yourself...
You know me really well. What the hell?
You've earned yourself a plug. Why don't you tell everybody who's listening where to find you, anything you're promoting currently, any of that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we always set up a special page just for you. statusflow.net/sweatequitypodcast. You can check out the Get Unstuck campaign. Of course, you can listen to our podcast, which is called Mindfuck. And I actually dare somebody to apply. I don't invite people to apply. I dare them to apply. It's deep, it's gnarly, and it's transformative.
It's funny you should mention that. We were talking about it before. I saw that. I was like, you should have me on there. I'll do it.
Yeah,
I mean, I looked at your website. I was like, okay.
Eric's all in on what you're putting out there.
I like
there
all
now.
The cussing on the website. It's awesome. I mean, it's just there's a lot. I'm like, oh, this kind of applies to me.
Not going to get monetized on YouTube with that language. So let's go back. You're at 13. You know, where'd you grow up? Give us a little background. Give us a little kind of, not a resume, but really kind of a short kind of, how'd you get to where you are right now?
All right. So I grew up in a very privileged neighborhood in a very scary house. The pillars of my life were grief and rage and abuse and addiction and abandonment.
Jesus.
And I built my life on those pillars. And as you can imagine, it doesn't work all that well. So after my first divorce to a woman with bipolar disorder and then my second divorce, I decided I should probably stop fucking marrying everybody and get my shit together. And so, and I have a history of making seemingly impossible things happen. I decided I wanted to be an NCAA ice hockey player when I was about 22 years old. And the only two things in my way were that I had, I was failing out of my junior college and I'd never skated. But fast forward 18 months, I was leading that team into the state championship. And so there's a science to making the impossible a reality. And I learned it, you know, I started working in a neuroscience institute of a hospital. I started training with like people like the Flow Research Collective, the Flow Genome Project. I still train regularly with retired Navy SEALs, Army Special Forces. And I actually did some psychology and education in spiritual psychology. And so all of this, throw it together, put it in a cauldron, set it on fire, and that's my company today.
I think this is fascinating.
That's a lot to peel off right there.
I mean, how is it?
That's like a Big Fish movie timeline of a life of randomness. Yeah.
Well, how do you, when it's you say scientific, that's the part that really... catches me. What is the science that you're talking about?
Okay, so there's a couple of things. Number one, what we're talking about is that reality as it is right now is an end result of a system. And any system can be hacked if you understand how that system works. Now, between the work that I did in psych and spiritual psychology, working in the Neuroscience Institute of the hospital, where I got an accidental education in neurochemistry, neurobiology, and my father, who never went to college, he barely graduated high school. He's an electromagnetic compatibility engineer. So I grew up talking about quantum mechanics and string theory and subatomic physics.
Oh, yeah.
None of which I understood.
Okay, I was about to say, like, what, dude... quantum physics, like that, just that phrase makes me sweat because I never took a physics class, so I'm learning a little bit later in life, but like that shit is mind-blowingly, like, really tough to
it's follow. Magic. It's magic. It just pretty much proves that, I mean, we're going to get into it, but you could literally anything's possible.
Look,
like, there could be layers of dimensions sitting on top of us right now. Most of the space around us is empty.
Look,
I think I've said that three times in the last three podcasts for some reason.
I cried watching Interstellar, not the first time, not at the daughter scene like I do now, but how gravity works. Because I was right, and I was like, gravity can change time on planets?
Sad now.
Why is the guy, the old guy, now he's old, back on the shuttle? Like, what's that? Yeah, so, Anyway, like, what was his title again? Electro?
My father was slash is an electromagnetic compatibility engineer.
What
so
is that?
So if you want to know how to design a circuit board, or if you want to know how to vaporize a human target from orbit, this is the man to talk to.
Interesting.
That's why we got Space Force.
Try taking that into grammar school, you know, share what your dad does for a living. I don't know.
Well, to be fair, no kids really know. Like, I thought my dad just writes on a legal pad, and he was a lawyer. And I was like,
they really don't care.
He talks at a dictaphone most of the time. I don't know. That's it.
So I feel like we kind of cut you off on the science part.
You're going to ask a question? I think he's waiting for a question.
What do you want to know?
How does it work? How does it work? So, like, if you're, I guess, just give me the, like I'm five, how would you start things out? Say I want to make a change in my life. Say I want to change, I've decided I want to change in my life.
Instead of doing ayahuasca, he needs to make a big change and get rid of a bunch of baggage. How about that?
Well, the ayah might do it for you, but here's how the roadmap just through neuroscience works, okay? You have an operating system in your head, just like your phone or your computer, so do you. We call it a belief system. It's been running since you were about 6 years old, and you are the sole architect of that system. Now, the way your world works is that that system gives birth to every single thought you have. Now, as soon as you have that thought, you experience it as a feeling. Now, depending on who you ask, there's somewhere between 20 to 30 feelings. But one of those is going to drive your actions or some combination. So your feelings drive your actions. Your actions produce results. Now, here's where it gets weird. The results that you produce are unconsciously pre-designed to validate the system that started all of this. So you got a feedback loop running around and around and around. You're gonna have like 70,000 thoughts today and make something like 33,000 decisions, the overwhelming majority of which you are completely unconscious of, which is why your life is the same as today as it was yesterday, and it'll be the same tomorrow. So when you slow it down, even create just the smallest hiccup in that loop, that space is the opportunity for conscious awareness as to what's going on. And this is where you start learning how to recode the system.
Okay. Sounds a lot like Neville Goddard. You ever read about him or read his stuff? I mean, he was like 100 years ago.
Neville Goddard?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, I don't want to say manifestation, but like as an easy term, it's kind of the idea is just projecting. His is more like when you create a vision in your mind, you're then creating that reality somewhere, and then it, you know, and it's basically what you believe.
It could keep you on track too, in a like a if more pragmatic psychology kind of sense, you know?
Right. Just to me, it's like, I guess the hard thing is the actual belief. How do you make that happen? Like you can visualize, oh, I'm gonna get a Ferrari.
I'm a nihilist.
But but if you have like that 1% of like, well, probably not gonna get that Ferrari. Like that's the biggest sticking point. I mean, how do you just completely buy in?
Yeah, there's any number of tools that will circumvent your internal bullshit detector so you can get around that. But think of it like tuning a musical instrument, right? The thing you want, whether it's a material thing like a Ferrari or whether it's an experience in this life, it's like this incredible piece of music. And your human system, right, mind, body, spirit, is the perfect instrument to play that music. Your job is to make sure that that instrument is tuned in order to do it. Now, when you start talking about beliefs, I'll say, well, what is a belief? It's a choice. A belief is a choice that you haven't taken responsibility for. The second you take responsibility for what you believe, you can believe whatever you want. Make the choice that aligns with the outcomes you want to have, the experience, basically the music you want to play.
Okay, say I choose. It's easy.
I choose to be straight. I tell people that all the time. It's a choice.
Right.
I told the story for years. Like, I'm not tall, dark, and handsome, okay? I mean, my running joke.
I was
going to
say, you're a hockey player. Were you like a wing? Because I don't get a goon vibe out of you.
No, I was definitely, I was a sharpshooter, but I'm 5'6", I was 155 pounds at my heaviest, right? It's not a big dude.
Hey,
I mean, I'm like 130.
You're Martine St. Louis, as long as you got that leg power, you're good, man.
Right? But as soon as I never saw myself as a hockey player, but the second I believed it could happen, I made it happen.
So, yeah, there's something to that. You know, what do you say when people kind of, you have a nickname as a witch doctor, you know, that could be a pejorative, or you could really kind of turn that around judo style into something positive. But what do you say when people call you kind of woo woo? A little.
I say, well, yeah, I can. I look, because you know you mentioned law of attraction earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't like the woo woo law of attraction? Let's talk subatomic physics. Let's talk about how particles are going to attract to each other. Let's talk about. I can run this through whatever package you want.
Ooh, right. That's what's crazy.
It's a nice like dick measuring kind of like. Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just like. Thump. I'm sitting there talking about a book that was written 100 years ago, and really, they didn't have a electron microscope or something. Like, they were just kind of feeling it. But now, they can kind of prove a lot of the stuff that's like, it was at one time was woo-woo. It's just like, hey, quantum physics.
Well, right. Like, what's old is new again kind of theory. Like, it's cyclical the way some of these kind of processing or operating systems or beliefs or whatever, you know, I was talking to my kids about religion and they're 6 and 7. And they're asking me, what's Jewish? You know, what does that mean? And I'm like, look, the three bits, this is my dad answer in the car to kind of, cause I didn't really have a good one, but
right, they're going to catch you off guard.
Well, we went to church.
What is Jewish?
And I was like, Jewish are awesome. They're funny. They nosh, they love food. No, we just drove by a synagogue after church and they're asking me questions. And I was just like, you know, all the three big religions in the world, those three at least, all pretty much have the same story, the origin story. It's almost
not just those ones.
Right, right. So I'm like,
all of them. I just have said, the similar, like, they all have a flood. They all have this stuff that's like, what?
I didn't get into Zoroasticism or anything that's fringe.
You know what Gnosticism is?
Zoroasticism.
No, I said Gnosticism.
Oh, Gnosticism. Is that the rapper Nas?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what
all I need is one mic, one mic. But I was just like, they're all kind of the same story. It's all kind of the same origin. It just kind of branched off, and they're like, okay.
Different branding. You guys want to talk about branding?
Yeah, it's a little bit, you know, oral right. Tradition kind of carried it in a different route. But that's one of those things where, you know, that's kind of how I look at it. Like, a lot of this stuff can be cyclical, too, time-wise, over time, like the book you're reading. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Well, I think the cool thing is, like, you hear about all these, like, you know, old legends, old wives' tales, or whatever they are, like, things that are, like, oh, you know, sleep with your socks on and you'll have, you know, you won't get sick and stuff like that. That's like, what? Where are you guys getting that from? So much of that stuff, they're like, oh, this is why. Because we have the science that we didn't ever think of it that way. But now we can look at it and be like, that's kind of true.
Yeah. Or don't put a hat on the bed, which my mom made
right,
me.
Well, that one.
That one's weird. Or hey, fat doesn't get you fat. And being cold doesn't get you a cold. You know, like those kind of things.
Oh, eating fat.
Right.
Okay.
Doesn't get you fat. It's the other
fat,
stuff.
How are you not fat?
Right. Having fat friends will make you fat, though.
Oh,
fat's
yeah.
That's contagious. We've proven that.
Well, yeah. We've talked about it on the show. That study of like the five friends or the five people you're around the most have a lot of influence. But the five people they hang out with have an indirect influence on you, too. And so.
So think about me teaching middle school PE.
Yeah. I mean. To have fun with that.
Yeah.
You're around some real, like...
real mature here.
Yeah, yeah. What'd the kid tell you the other day? MV penis?
Yeah. He wasn't making a joke. He was like, something about MV penis. I was like, what?
Oh, man, I forgot. I meant to write that down.
And I was like, you hear what you're saying? Yeah.
I'm MV
like, you don't
penis.
Think that's funny at all? Nah, coach.
All right, we're getting in left field here. You know what? Tell us about Mindfuck and how because it sounds a little bit uncouth compared to a lot of other podcasts.
Yeah, you know, well, I threatened to start a podcast for a long time. In a previous life, I was a AM/FM radio producer and DJ, and I got when I started doing the podcast, I got real bored talking to myself, and so it was my CMO at the time. He had this wild idea. He's like, why don't you just do one-off coaching session? And I thought, all right, let's give it a try. And we had this incredible, the first one that we launched was this woman named Allison. I figured her out in about 8 minutes. I need another four to walk her up to the door because you can't just throw somebody through a wall like this. But at about the 8.5 minute mark, dropped a bomb on her that just, you can actually hear her on the podcast that catch her breath because it was so deep and so quick. And it was my CMO who listened to this. And he called me up and he says, I know the name of the podcast. I said, what? He said, you got to call it Mindfuck. And I was like, what? We can't call it that. He's like, no, because he was listening to it like, he's like fucking her brain right now. I fought him for like a month.
Better than Skullfuck.
Like, look, it's penetrative, it's deep, it's transformative, it's just, and I said, so I caved, and I said, all right, fine, call it that then.
I mean, I think Eric, you can, you sound like the, like some of these mentalist guys, but a little bit more legit.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like you have a very high EQ. Is that fair to say?
I would say that is correct. Yes.
Especially if you could, if that story, you could do it in 8 minutes, you know, why don't we do it with Eric as a test?
Yeah.
You could do an intake on him. Cause he's hook, line, and sinker ready to get in the program.
Yeah, you probably get me in like 3 minutes.
But I think it would be a good thing for people to listen to, and if they're interested, kind of, I think that would kind of get them to kind of understand what's going on.
Yeah, it is adjusting. Like I mentioned earlier, like tuning a human being. I mean, essentially what we're tuning is your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, your mindset, your framework, all of these things, especially your energy field. You know, we talked earlier, like everything is energy. You know, even the desk that you're sitting at is, it feels like solid matter, but it's like 90-something% empty space. It's just compressed energy. And when you recognize that energy operates in bandwidths and frequencies, how do I adjust the frequency of who I am and what I'm doing to match the frequency of what I want? You do that and you bring it to you instead of having to chase after it. This is the law of attraction thing, right?
Mm-hmm, so, and yeah. Also like putting something out there, you know, in your head. I want to be more tuned in this way. I think I would say the thing, I think a lot of people want to tune themselves better. I think that's a thing. If you ask them, you know, on the street, we do Family Feud style. You ask 100 people at a mall.
Right.
I think everybody would say, yeah, I want to improve myself. I think the hard part a lot of people lack is consistency of doing it. Like I always kind of think about it as be your own guinea pig, your own science experiment. And it's really boring, honestly. Like you really have to check in with yourself every day. You really, like I was reading about that CEO. I think he's the Verizon CEO. He writes like his energy every day as like a journal thing. And he goes like, here's, I felt like this throughout the day, blah, blah, blah. He's been doing it for like 20 years or something crazy, you know, like, and I was like, I get that. I totally get that. Cause I forget what happened 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Because I've got a lot of shit going on, but that's also not tuning. Cause I'm not doing, I used to take like 10 minutes and just sit and quiet and just, okay, what did I do today? Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The unreflected life's not worth living kind of stuff. So is that, what is that? Is that Catholicism or Socrates? I can't remember. But if you want to, can you do a test or inbound test intake form?
I would imagine we would do not. I mean,
do it.
Well,
bitch.
I'm
don't be a bitch.
I mean, look,
bitch.
I can have an effect on, I can physically affect the way your brain is working just having this conversation with you by changing one word in a sentence.
Okay.
Like I can produce a different experience.
Right.
And that's how that starts working. I'll give you an example. Think of
please
something.
Don't say the N-word.
Think of something that you really want. Like you don't, and you're not going to tell me what it is. Okay. You want to use, you mentioned the mentalist earlier. Okay. So think of something you really want and be honest enough with yourself, something that you have some charge around. Maybe you're frustrated or sad. Maybe there's shame, but something you're like, I just want, and don't tell me what that thing is, but think to yourself, like really connect with that thing, whether it's an experience or an object, and like, and sink into the experience of, I just want that thing, and notice how that feels. Now, stay connected to that thing and say it without the word just. What do you notice in the difference of those two experiences? It'll be subtle, but it's there.
Are we supposed to say it?
So wait.
Yeah. Don't tell me what the thing is. Just tell me the difference in the experience. What's the difference between saying I just want that thing and I want that thing?
It's just like a lazy word. Well, no, it's like there's like a, it feels more,
adjust.
I don't know if it's confident. It feels more empowering, I think.
Right.
Deterministic.
More confident, more empowering. Here's what just happened. I just had a physiological effect on your brain and the way your brain was working. I changed how it functioned, which changed the energy field, which changed your frequency. That's why it felt stronger and more confident. I put you into a higher frequency.
You just popped your brain, Jerry, bro.
Mind fucked me.
You just got mind fucked. You
got
to do that like Chris Angel, man.
That's how you end every show.
You just got mind fucked.
I tell people, call me whatever you want. Call me a coach. Call me a facilitator. Call me the executive witch doctor. I'm a systems hacker.
Yeah.
Everything is a system.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have an unusual engineer kind of purview of all this kind of stuff right. that seems very...
Thank you to my father, W. Michael King, the electromagnetic compatibility engineer.
I mean, good, because we're getting too far away from math and engineering, so we need kind of more of that. And I look, you get me high enough, I'll talk about how math is in everything and, right. you know, all of this stuff. And so, right. you know... So I don't know
what. So like, let's say
I was hoping for an average size penis. That was what I had in my head.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, and I said I just want less. And then I go, I want an average size penis.
So like, I'm sure you have people come to you that don't necessarily even know what they want. They know that they're like in a rut. They know they're not themselves.
They stuck.
Right.
They're mm-hmm. stuck. Do you approach them differently, or is it sort of the same process? How do you handle them?
No, there's really very little in terms of structured process with this work. It, you know, the first things are, number one, I got to put you in a position of empowerment, and number two, I got to get you out of judgment around everything. Mm. That after that, it's just the Wild West.
Okay.
Every client is different, every engagement is different, and how I relate to them is different. I can gently escort somebody through the door, or I can throw them through it, but either way, we're getting on the other side.
Oh, cool.
Customized.
It really is.
It has to be, because human beings are they're three-dimensional. You know, we bucket people. It always annoys me, because like, people will bucket you according to like the first thing they found out about you,
right
mm-hmm. And so
that's laziness.
It is, but it's common. It's like most people do it that way, because it's like a shorthand in their brain, right? Like I'm always the little brother of my two older sisters, like, you know, social seat, right? I'll never mm-hmm. not be that, even though I'm almost 40. Right. They still think of me as a little brother, like little kid.
Mm-hmm.
So we bucket those initial things. I feel like one thing with people trying to get unstuck is there's a lot of defeat ism in their head before they even go, you know, suss out what they want to do.
Well, there's a negative feedback loop.
Right. It's a self-protection thing at its core.
What's the point?
Yeah. Do you feel like that happens a lot?
Oh, yeah. There's any number of strategies for this kind of thing, and there's a ton of reasons for all of it. The second you have a great idea, the next thing that's going to happen is all the reasons why you're an idiot for even thinking about that. And here's all the things that it can't work and that should stop you. And I'll give you a tool. I'm all about tools. So I'll give you a tool for this. The second you have that aha moment of the thing you want to do or get or whatever, and as soon as all those reasons come in, this is my favorite tool, I think, for this. I don't care. Like, all the reasons are going to be valid, okay? All the reasons you can't have it will be true. I decided I want to be a hockey player. You're too small. That's true. I don't care. You've never skated before. That's true. I don't care. If I want it bad enough, if I am both committed to something and devoted to it at the same time, I cannot fail. It really is that simple. You use I don't care about every single reason why it's impossible, you'll make it happen.
You got that Tom Brady kind of stare when you're talking about this, because I've heard Tom Brady in the huddle will go, we're getting this 4th and 12. And you look at everybody,
Do you understand?
Your whole face kind of just, if anybody's watching a video, your face just got real in the zone talking about it.
Wow. Yeah.
Like I've heard him.
But I mean, that's walking the walk.
But I mean, I'm using Tom Brady as an extrapolating example, because people know he's kind of a psycho, and when he wants to do it, he does it for the most part, you know.
It's that simple. Like, how did I build this company for, you know, when I was, I had a job offer on the table to become, you know, learn how to do commercial real estate or build this company. I was broke. I was living out of my car. I had nowhere to go that day. And there were days I didn't eat, right? The things that I did to have a roof over my head once in a while were sketchy, to say the least. And
I want
to
hear about
and
that.
The reality was, I was not going to be like this. This was going to happen. God herself was going to have to come down and tell me no. And I was still going to say, fuck you. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And it's just when you have that level of intensity, when you align yourself with something like that, you can't fail. Like, there is no failure at that point. It's simply a matter of choice. I am deciding to do this. There are no other options.
Yeah. And the things that I feel like clutter and get in the way, if you really keep that mindset, they kind of fall by the wayside. And you're like, oh, this, I've spent, like, a lot of people spend, like, they're like, ooh, I'm so addicted to TikTok. And I'm like, nope. Like, I'm not going on that shit because everyone goes, I'm so addicted. I burn like 2 hours of my life every day looking at it. I'm like, fuck that. I don't want that. That's not a good life for me, just imbibing that shit. And like, if you're very pointed on what you want to do every day consistently, I feel like that stuff falls by the wayside. And you're like, oh yeah, I'm ready to do that shit. I don't, you know.
Yeah, it's like a narrowing of the focus. I think a lot of people think of it as like, oh, I'm taking on all this new shit that I got to worry about now with my new choices in life. But I feel like it's more of, no, you just focus on this one or two.
See, that's the thing. Your life, the experience you want to have, it's like Michelangelo creating the Statue of David, right? It's already there. You just have to remove the stuff that isn't it.
Right.
Chip away. Yeah, I feel like that was a small penis joke at me, but that's fine.
He emailed me before. He's like, I'm going to nail this right at the end of the show.
I have a tiny Italian penis like that guy.
Watch how I weave this in. It's going to be awesome.
David and I are we're growers. We're not showers. It was a cold day. That's all I'm saying.
At least he's proud of it. He shows it off.
Well, he doesn't have this leg power like I got. It's a fucking magic eye problem.
Helping. That's not, helping the ratio.
I know. It sucks. It sucks, man. It makes it look like...
And then we can start talking about sex magic and how you can manifest through that. So.
Well, I am a...
Oh, man.
I am an energy...
We need to make this a two-parter.
I do feel like an energy guy when it comes to dating a lot of the time, because that's what you get asked if you start talking to girls, you know, in the beginning, and they go, what are you looking for? I just like, I'm usually like, other than the primal carnal stuff of being attractive to me, like I it has to be good energy or it's not going to work kind of thing.
Energy is everything. Yeah. It's not going to work. Yeah. Right.
You got anything? We got a couple minutes left.
Things, but I feel like we're going
to... You mind fucked him, dude.
Yeah.
He needs a cigarette.
I might have broke him a little bit.
Well, I mean, he's got to write his diary. He just popped his brain cherry, dude.
You think you broke me.
Well, I mean, I love that you're a guy that, you know, Eric and I have had our own individual issues the last couple of years and got out of that hole mentally. I like that you're very honest about that part. Like, you got out of some real bad situation, it seems like, and maybe some mental illness you struggled with, and you can correct that course, it seems like. Is that what you're talking about in the speaking engagements you do, or is it all different every time you're out?
Yeah, it really is about how do we bend our reality and make the shifts that we're and make sustainable changes that we want. And I do it. I look at it through the lens of the concepts because there's no one answer for anyone. I will say that most people, the problem that they have is that they start at the wrong end of the spectrum. And they go up against the grain and hope that willpower is going to power them through. But willpower is an exhaustible resource. And so the reality that people are trying to change, like let's say getting in shape, this is an easy one, right? First thing people say, okay, I'm going to get in shape. And so I'm going to go to the gym and eat right and do all the things. And they're addressing it at the physical end. And that's, like I mentioned earlier, the last thing that happens in the chain. So then if you address it the physical, then you got to swim upstream into the energetic and the frequency. And that's exhausting and it's going to take a lot longer and it's probably not even going to work. This is why people are on that hamster wheel. If you address it in the energetic, in that space, in the frequency, then it comes downstream to reality. It takes a lot less time. It's sustainable and it requires a lot less effort on your part.
What would that look like though? Like
an example,
is that when you say like live from the end or something like that, or like live that like as though you are already there in your mind?
Yes. Yeah. You start with the person. You start by showing up in your thoughts and your feelings and even the way you dress as the person that already has the thing you want. Like, you start there. I mean, they say dress for the job you want, not the job you have. There's a reason for this. Yeah. There's that. It has to do with how that affects your frequency.
Yeah.
So if you start with an understanding of an identity, right? Like, and you know, they talk about this in like Atomic Habits, old school book, right? Great book. They talk about this, like start with the ideas and the thoughts and the behaviors. I'm somebody who makes smart choices. I am this kind of person, right? That adopts the identity of the frequency of the person that you want and the thing that you're going to have. And so this is how you address it up here in the energetic, so it comes downstream.
Would it be fair to say visualize the person you want to be? Like if it was like if you close your eyes and go, I want to be this person kind of thing, because I get what you're saying, but it's very broad. And I know it's tough because it's different for everybody. So there's so many
I would say that you don't want to be that person.
I will be
you
that person.
You are that person.
Right, yeah. It's like you're putting something in between it.
I am this person. Okay, now that you are that person, strip away all the stuff that isn't that person.
I am an average penis guy. I am.
You are right. So strip away the XL condoms, man. Like, just let it go. Right?
Condoms? I don't use that shit.
Someone say vasectomy?
Yeah. What?
I just did my
What are those
job.
About? Yeah. I thought those were like in the 90s, right?
Right, but if you're like, I'm a high-performing business executive, great, then stop with the social media.
Mm. Yeah.
Strip it away.
Yeah.
Strip it away.
Yeah, you're right. It is a thing of like, I tend to go, these things I need to drop instead of going, I need to, it's the inverse, which is weird because the last episode we had, it was a similar kind of thing for recruiting. He was like, start at the end of this person you're hiring. What do they want to do at the exit of this job? Or what is their career path? And that'll be the best thing at the beginning for your relationship with them. And I feel like a lot of things to be successful have this weird counterintuitive, time's a flat circle, all that, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's already happened.
If you want to get 5 times more done this week, don't work more hours, work fewer.
Yeah.
It's so counterintuitive.
It's
but
like
that's
we've
the
had,
hamster wheel. Working more hours to get more done is very linear thinking.
We've had people come on and go, you want to make more money? Double your prices. And we're like,
right.
And he was right. It was like, but it took us over a year to go, yeah, actually, that was correct. You know?
Yeah.
So
I had a very hard time getting clients at a low price point. And then one day I just said, screw it. And I doubled it for no reason whatsoever. And then it was so much easier.
Right.
Well, we just got the tip of the iceberg, I think, with you. I think
I'm going to print out that application after this podcast.
And maybe we need to, if you need for your speaking engagements, you need some openers, you know.
Right. Kick it around a little
bit.
Happy
to have you on.
A little warm up.
I mean, I could do 10 minutes on my real bad dick. It's been called mediocre before.
Right.
It's been in the range of fair to middling.
He's looking to bring everybody down before the show.
Well, you know, everybody likes to laugh at a micro penis guy. I think that's a shared experience.
Makes them all feel better about themselves.
Right, exactly. That's
choose that.
That's my charm. That's my calling, really. But if we get you on again, I want to have Eric go through the whole thing on live, or if you go on the podcast.
A little swap, 69 B2B podcast.
We call that the double Dutch rudder kind of thing. We both mutually can help each other. but thank you for coming on, man. This is a great talk. And, definitely. I'm
going to figure, I'll be in touch somehow about some of this stuff. Yeah, it's really cool.
We're
invited to reach out. It's so good to see you both. Thank you for having me.
We're fortunate to make a connection with you, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.